Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
So, even if the sun doesn't last, one way you know for sure that summer is here is the abundance of festivals to choose from right across the country. So for this week's Industry Review, I wanted to chat to a few organisers about how this year's lineups are coming along. Delighted to be joined by Declan Ford. He's the Festival Director of Beyond the Pale down there in Glendalough in County Wicklow. Also joining us from Galway is John Crumlish, the CEO of the Galway International Arts Festival. And joining us as well is Brendan Hurley, co-founder of Night and Day Festival in Roscommon. You're all very welcome to the programme. Brendan, I might start with you as the Rossi in the room, as they say. Tell us a little bit about your Night and Day Festival.
Yeah, thanks, Bobby. Well, this is the fourth year of our festival, third year in our beautiful surroundings of Lochee Forest Park.
Beautiful area.
Beautiful area, especially when the weather is like this, there's nowhere to equal it. So yeah, this is our fourth year. We're running at the end of June, 27, 28, 29th of June. we have something for everybody, I hope, again in our lineup. You know, we've got Katie Tunstall, Josie Gonzalez, the Wailers, our international contingent, as well as, you know, a host of wonderful Irish acts from The Stunning to Lisa Hannigan to Fionn Regan. I won't go through them all.
No. So it's a music, it's primarily a music festival, but there are other things as well. And it seems to be aimed at families, is that right? Or yeah. I'm just trying to get a sense of the dynamics of the festival.
We certainly have. Built a reputation of being very family friendly, which is wonderful. You know, our festival is strictly over 20s, but under 14s go for free, essentially. But you're right, because Lochee has the facilities like zip lining and kayaking and all that already on site, we're able to utilise all that and incorporate it into the festival.
Okay. You also have the unique ability to go there by boat, do you not?
We absolutely do.
Yeah,
and that seems to be gaining as the word spreads, you know, that you can actually pull up on your boat and moor right next to the festival arena.
Or you could rent one down in Carrick and Shannon and just come across the lake.
Exactly. And that's what.
What a nice thing to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Really, really is fantastic. Yeah.
All right. Stay with us. Let's talk to Declan Ford from Beyond the Pale. Declan, you're very welcome to the programme. I think we've spoken to you before. And I think when we spoke to you before, you were actually on site, if I recall, during the festival. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. This time 2 years ago or the morning of the festival. Yeah. I think I remember trying to find a quiet place to go to be able to speak to you. We just about managed it.
Tell us about Beyond the Pale. Am I right in saying it's a more mature festival?
We have notions. Yeah. We're nearly getting there. Yeah. We're nearly mature. You know. So like Brendan said, we were dreamed up and founded during the post COVID optimism when the market was going to be three times the size it is. You know, because then everyone's going to come in. And we've grown every year. It's been brilliant. We've a huge estate down there. It's 1,400 acres, just 25 minutes from South County Dublin. It's even there isn't a part of Dublin that it isn't 70 more. It's more than 70 minutes from even with the M50 coming around. So it's very used. It's handy for getting artists in. It's only 60 minutes from Dublin Airport. So I think, you know, as I said, it's only 25 minutes from South County Dublin, but mentally it feels like 5 hours away. You feel like you're in the wilds of West Cork, or, you know. So
and who's your target audience, Declan?
Our average punters would be early to mid 30s. Very few people under the age of 25 there. A lot of people in the 40s as well, and kind of a growing family element to it. You know, it's been seen as a 3 day party for 25 to 45 year olds, and it's not mandatory to bring your kids, but if you want the option, you can bring them. You know, but.
Is that a tricky balance? You know, making something kid friendly and also appealing to maybe, you know, a group of lads or girls that just want to go away and party for the weekend.
Yeah, some of the two worlds can coexist peacefully. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess I was involved in Electro Picnic for the first 8 years or so, and that was always a challenge we used to try and manage to navigate. But it seems to work. It's worked a lot of, it's meant a lot of festivals in Ireland that managed to balance it now at this stage.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Yeah.
Let's bring in our third guest. He's John Crumlish. John, you're from the CEO of the Galway International Arts Festival, which has been going for a long number of years. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Bobby, for having me.
Now, tell us about the Galway International Arts Festival.
Well, we're, unlike the lads, this is our 48th festival, so you could describe us as mature at this stage. We're a multidisciplinary festival in the sense that we cover a lot of different art forms, theatre, opera, music, visual arts, comedy, and we have a talks program. In terms of the target audience, it's everybody really, in the sense that it depends on the art form, attracts different age groups. So, you know, as I say, we have opera, which would be, and basically theatre, visual arts. So you're looking at different age groups, and then we have a big music program. So you have everything from Interplanetary Criminal DJing to the RT Concert Orchestra doing the Four Seasons. So we cover a very broad church in that regard.
Yeah, and in terms of that broad church that you speak about, that presents its own challenges, does it not? If you're talking about different genres of music, theatre, opera, street spectacles, circus acts, gallery exhibitions, like, it's a lot of different things all going on at once. In terms of marketing that, is that a challenge?
It is a challenge. I think it's a plus being 48 years old in that regard, and that people have a fair notion of what you're like. But it is, you're targeting different markets, so you are going across a big number of platforms and basically trying to hit a lot of different audiences. As I say, you can be going from 18 up to 80. So it is, you know, it depends, and you're trying to get it where people are consuming their content to try and get at them. And then it's both regional, national, and international. So it is a challenge in that regard.
Yeah.
It's one we work and we enjoy.
You know, when your festival kicks off, John, you've got over 500 staff involved. It's a huge employer, number one, but it's also a huge contributor to the local economy. Do you get fair shout for that?
Well, in the arts, you always complain that we never get a fair shout. But yeah, we're worth over about 50 million to the local economy. So at this stage in Galway, you know, everybody knows that we contribute. We have very good sponsors. We have great partners, and a lot of business in the town help us. So we're very grateful for that.
And yet they still give out to you for causing traffic delays and stuff like that. Yeah, even though you're doing wonders for the economy.
Yeah, well, on the one hand, as the CEO, having traffic problems is one aspect of it. But to not have traffic problems, but even worse, because then you wouldn't be selling at all. So, you know, you can't have it every way.
No, fair play and well said. Back to you, Brendan, in Roscommon. Would I be right in saying that the biggest challenge or the biggest factor to the success or otherwise of your event is potentially the weather?
Yes. I mean, yes, on the weekend of the festival, right, that sets the tone. You know, obviously, if it's pouring down rain, it dampens the mood.
But the tickets are sold.
Well, that's it. I mean, but then I suppose, having said that, and Declan will probably know this, we sell nearly 50% of our tickets maybe in the 4 weeks just before the event.
Is that right?
You know, which is its own challenge, you know, for cash flow, blah, blah, blah. But so if the lead up, as you were saying earlier, you know, the weather now gets people in the mood. They start thinking about their festivals. But if the 2 or 3 weeks before the event, we still have good weather, that really helps push the ticket sales.
Okay, so people will think about the weather in today's terms, regardless of what it may bring on the day of the festival.
I think so,
which kind of suits you in a sense. But I assume as well then, and you've probably had it over the years, you know, you've got operational challenges if it rains with God knows what. Tell me more.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, again, I suppose we're lucky in that Lochy is an established campsite, park, good infrastructure. You know, we have little roads, you know, for getting our big trucks in and stuff like that. So that's all there. So that's one thing we don't
have. There's infrastructure. Yeah.
And then because we're in the west of Ireland, you know, we're very conscious that we've been lucky, touch wood so far with the weather, but all our stages are inside big top tents, just so at least we have some level of comfort. Even
and protection, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Declan, you mentioned the early days of Electric Picnic. You can think back, I presume, over your years in the business to events that were held under blistering sunshine and also in high winds and heavy rain.
Yeah. There's been all elements, yeah. I remember this, I think about the fifth year of Electric Picnic, discovering these things that existed, like giant kind of hoovers that can literally take away puddles, you know. Get them. Yeah, there's but no, the land down and beyond the Pale site actually takes rain pretty well, and we had the first year of the festival we had really heavy rain in all the week leading up to it, but it didn't lead to much of a mud bath itself. So sometimes it's going to be as much important in the week leading up to it in terms of...
That you don't get a wet ground,
Yeah. So there's the site that we hold in like Glendalough, it's good farming land, so it kind of tends to absorb the rain anyway pretty well. But
what sort of infrastructure do you have to put in, you know, to basically deal with the whatever it is? How many thousand people will be going down there?
We're expecting about 12,000 this year.
Okay, so yeah. 12,000 people is a lot of people to come to a place that isn't ordinarily used for that event for the other
360
odd days of the year. So what kind of things do you have to put in place infrastructurally?
Yeah, I mean, it's just it comes down to some of the basic provisions, you know, the power and water, the things everyone needs power, every supplier, you know, every food seller, everyone needs internet connections. So that's some of the kind of the basic stuff. And that's some of the stuff that goes wrong. It affects literally everything, you know. So traders can't wash their dishes, you know, if you don't have enough water, traders can't wash their dishes, can't have showers, artists complaining they can't have washed their hands. So obviously, you know, so that's kind of building from that, we have 10 stages across the thing, including the food stages. So we've Ali Dunworth from Irish Times curates our food programme. So there's a huge variety of food. It's a big part of our...
Yeah.
So kind of a big kind of...
So that's interesting that you say that, even that the thing like the food experience has become much more important in terms of the overall event. You know, in my days in Listu and Varney, you would have been glad of a bag of chips and a burger on the way home. You know, now people are seeking all sorts of food truck experiences, let's call them.
Street
food brought to a... But you know, that's a good thing, is it not?
Totally, yeah. Well, listen, some people are big fans of food as much as some other people are fans of music, you know, and I guess we're trying to say you don't have to be a, you know, muso up to speed on the next breakthrough act coming, getting recommended to Pitchfork to come and enjoy the festival, so...
And do you operate then, you say that Ali Dunworth is coordinating it for you, but do you operate then through Ali and she then lines up the individuals so that you're not dealing with 15 or 20 or 30 different food trucks, or work?
Well, we would book the food traders and liaison with a lady called Vanessa Clark, who I've worked with actually since the early days of Electro Picnic, and Vanessa would... She'd be the ones who knows all the great traders, and if a couple drops out, she's immediately got, you know, another long Rolodex full of the best traders, and knows the ins and outs of it. So I couldn't take credit for that. And Ali, we have a separate kind of food area that we call Beyond the Plate that Ali curates. So there's discussions about food, and you can so people are trying to manage to talk about food while eating food at the same time, and some of them manage to do the food at the same time. But that's gone down a storm since the early. That's something we initiated from year one, and I was what people really wanted to talk about food.
John, on that subject of talks at a festival, how important have, I suppose, lectures in various disciplines become part of the infrastructure of your festival?
Yeah, well, we started about 12 years ago doing a talk series, First Thought, and we thought it'd be very much an addendum to what was going on, but it really has taken on a life of its own, and we cover everything. Initially, it was going to be all about creativity, but it has kind of branched out, and we couldn't get over the appetite for talks. Like this year, you know, we'll have Fintan O'Toole and Pramila Jayapal, a congresswoman from Seattle. They'll be talking about the state of America. We'll have Roisin Ingalls and Brendan Kelly talking about kindness and the health service. We'll be Lara Marlow and Phillips O'Brien talking about what's happening in Ukraine. We'll be looking at the relationship between autism and talent. So, you know,
and John, who's the target audience for these talks? Are they people that are going to another event and this kind of supplements their experience? Or would people be attracted to a talk and then maybe bounce on to some other event that's on in tandem with that?
Well, it is very much that, Bobby, but it is also there are people who just do them as a marathon, who will do the three or four in a day. We try and concentrate the talks on both weekends of the festival, and there are people who just do them all. They call it the talks mood, and they just will go all day. So there's fans, there's people, you know, like just like my guess is the health service talks will be lots of people from the health service, but then there's the people who just, as you say, think we get in a talk between a theatre show and a gig that night as well. So it's found its own place within the different art forms, and we're delighted with the progress to date and the fact that it really is fantasy talks. to say, you can go from talking about, as the lads are talking about, from food to talking about DJing to talking about the political situation anywhere in the world.
Yeah, very interesting. Brendan, do you negotiate with all the bands yourself directly, or how does that process happen?
Yeah, I suppose because we're a small festival, we're a small team, so we have to multitask.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm the one who does most of the booking, but through agents, obviously, you know, you're dealing with agents all the time.
So the bands that are booked for your festival, how far in advance would they be secured?
We will usually start, as soon as it finishes in June, we'll start
again.
And then I think as we grow, and, you know, I think you might even have to start to get the bigger acts. You might even have to start earlier than that. You know, some of them are booked up. I know I was speaking to one artist management just recently for next year, and they're already completely booked up for 2026. So it just
right.
shows you really need to be ahead of the game, you know.
Yeah, Declan, when it comes to the, I suppose, the longevity of a festival, you know, what do you do every year to try and keep the thing fresh, to try and attract new audience? You know, even if you look at Electric Picnic had its time, you know, they had as the glory years, then, you know, everybody seems to move to a new... Well, what's the secret sauce into trying to keep, I suppose, it relevant, to keep it current, to keep it exciting, to make it attractive, and then knowing maybe when it's time to roll up your tent, to use it a festival term.
Monday morning, roll up your tent. Yeah, yeah. No, we expanded a little bit every year. We put in new areas, new elements to it. I think in terms of, you know, we're trying to do is any growth and change is gradual. You know, we know from the first year we'd just under 5,000 people for him thought this was the best thing since sliced bread, and the starting point for the next year is right. Let's make sure those people are going to be happy, and how we can grow from there. You know, and you have a core. So,
so once you see the numbers growing year on year, I suppose that's incentive enough to tell you that this is working and that there's an appetite. Stay going. So
We also sold like for this year's festival, we announced that we did our first lineup announcement in December, but December last year, we'd already sold almost 2,000 weekend tickets.
Is that right?
On the basis just of people trust the brand enough, which I wouldn't say, you know, I was involved in the early years of Electric Picnic and Body and Soul and Forbidden Fruit Festivals, and we hadn't got that, we weren't achieving that after just three editions. So that's a very good positive. We seem to, you know, punters seem to trust that, right? I don't know what the lineup will be, but they've delivered the previous three times, so I think they will this time. And, you know, my experience, that will kind of snowball in the coming years. We've also added, as I said, you know, we've added the kind of food element to something we've grown each year, and that's, you know, proved really popular. We've also added a wellness element, so there's everything from, you know, saunas to massages, Reiki, and talks associated with that as well, which has gone down well.
It does confirm, I think, that even when I look at what all three of you are doing, that, you know, it's no longer about one thing. It's about, you know, going to a gig, but doing a piece of wellness or experience some type of food. It's so much more maybe complicated than it used to be, but the experience should be infinitely better.
Yeah, totally. Well, I suppose what having all these elements is you try to make yourself that you're not too dependent on a lineup. You know, you're not, which, you know, puts you in a good enough position. So again, you look at the position Electric Picnics, and they already sell 75,000 tickets without it before they've announced any act. So that's kind of the hallowed land. but we also, you know, we've notions of being a more mature crowd and people who are maybe a little bit fussy and don't want to just get pissed and roll around in their tents. So we've got glamping elements. We sell camper van tickets. What we've also done is, you know, it's not just about 3-day weekend tickets. We do a small number of single day tickets for Saturday and Sunday as well.
And again, balancing that, you know, from a revenue point of view is important.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I suppose for our thing, our proximity to Dublin, one of the biggest. So we get, you know, we have buses going, especially for the single day tickets, important. We have buses going from Dublin City Centre every day, but we also have them going from Bray Dart stations.
Okay.
Quite accessible.
Well, finally then, what I want to do for each of you is, would you give us a shout out of when your event is on and how much it is? And I'll start with you, Declan.
Okay, yeah.
When is the event on and how much is it?
Beyond the Pale is on 4 weeks from now, the weekend of 13th to the 15th of June. It's on the wonderful Glendalough Estate in County Wicklow, the only festival site that I've ever worked on that has wild deer on it, amongst other animals. A really spectacular place. And we have weekend tickets selling for €49. We have single day tickets selling for €109.
Okay, thank you very much, Brendan Hurley.
So after you come from beyond the pale a few weeks later, Night and Day is running in Lochee Forest Park, 27th to the 29th of June. Day tickets are €85, weekend tickets are €185.
And lastly to you, John Crumlish of the Galway International Arts Festival.
Well, we're slightly different. We're on for 2 weeks, 14th to the 27th of July, and we go a third of our programmes free of charge, and then we go from €10 up to €50, so it depends on the art form, it depends on the day, and it depends on the performance.
All right. Well, look, it's a great discussion that we've had. It's an interesting business, not without its challenges, but with lots of opportunity. I want to thank my guests, Declan Ford, Brendan Hurley, and John Crumlish. Thank you all very much.
Thanks, Bobby.
Up next, Mad About Money.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.